Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Listening to The Beauty of Our Weapons by M. Darusha Wayne. For more information, go to darusha.ca/weapons. Episode 8, Chapter 15. Dex had stayed until the band finished, then walked back to Liberté with Max. Of course, his daughter lived in the same building as Dex. There were only so many places like that, and when Max described the building, Dex had known that they had to be living in the same complex. For a moment when they'd arrived at the lobby, Dex had an almost paralyzing desire to invite Max up to his apartment. He imagined the two of them drinking his quality rum, listening to music, staying up until well past dawn just like they used to do. But he caught a glimpse of his old friend's face in the soft lobby lights, the silver in his hair glinting and the lines around his eyes and mouth etched deeply. So much time had gone by, Dex thought, and it only ever flows one way. This man standing in the lobby was merely related to the Maxime Veronin that Dex had loved in his youth. Dex himself was barely the same man as he'd been then. There was no going back. Dex had smiled at Max and said, "It was wonderful seeing you again. You're going to be in Nice for a while?" "A few more days at least," Max said. "I'd love for you to meet Andrea." "I'd like that," Dex said. "And I want to meet your team Cracker," Max said, a comical leer on his face. "Well, I'm not so sure about that," Dex said, laughing, then thought for a moment. He really wasn't sure that he wanted Max and Annabelle to meet. It already felt awkward to have spent the evening with Max, and he wasn't sure how to explain it to Annabelle. He flashed a weak grin at Max and said goodnight, grabbing the upward spiral cable for his tower. He saw Max disappear as he ascended, and when he stepped out onto his floor, he'd already begun to wonder if he'd imagined the whole thing. The surrealism of the situation, combined with several of the bar's terrible drinks, played with Dex's mind, and after he'd spent his minute in the shower, he resolved himself to worry about it only after good night's sleep. He fell into bed and proceeded to not worry about anything for several hours. Dex opened a bleary eye and scanned his dim apartment. He had his system untint the window fully, but even then the light that entered was weak. He checked the time and saw that he'd slept late. Shaking his head, he remembered the previous night and wondered if he'd dreamed at all. He pulled up his onboard system and opened the file that contained his recording of the previous night. It was real. He'd really met Max again. He shook his head, saved the file, and got out of bed. A shot of Flying Fish tonics, a large mug of coffee, and a food brick later, he was feeling fine. He went online and saw that he had several messages waiting. 3 from Annabelle, and 1 from Captain Venmore of Guadalajara. Dex sighed. He'd been offline for hours, and wondered how much hell he was going to catch. An American captain he could deal with, but Annabelle was a bear when she worried, and she worried about Dex an awful lot. He steeled himself against the onslaught and punched up Van Moore's message first. It was a short one, just thanking Dex for his help and reiterating that if Ms. Bish needed any other assistance out in the physical world, that he'd happily be able to help. Dex read between the lines just fine and guessed that Van Moore was offering plenty of assistance that had nothing whatsoever to do with Dex. He grinned. Annabelle was right. Those two did deserve each other. His smile faded. Annabelle. He couldn't put it off much longer, so he fired up the first of her messages. Nothing to fear in this one. She was simply letting him know that she'd cooked up a replacement login for Stella Bish and had sent it off to Gabriel Van Moore for installation. She added that she'd begun sifting through the records from the monitoring script that Bish had been using, and that she'd have more for Dex later. Later rolled around for Dex with a swipe of his eyes as he moved on to Annabelle's next message. I've got something pretty interesting in here, she said without preamble. Sort of a good news, bad news scenario. Let's get together and talk. And where are you, anyway? Call me. So far, so good, Dex thought, but he knew that the next message would be the heartbreaker. He took a breath and opened the sound file. Dex, Annabelle's worried voice sounded in his ears. Where are you? You've been offline all day now, and I'm starting to freak out a little. Call me right away, or I'm coming over there. I mean it. Call me. Dex let out a breath he didn't realize he'd even been holding. That could have been worse. He didn't even bother to figure out what he was going to tell her. He just pinged Annabelle immediately. What's going on? She demanded as soon as the connection was live. I'm sorry, kiddo, Dex said. I went out to see a band and stayed till the ugly lights came on. Then I went to sleep, and of course, I slept in. I'm sorry I didn't get your messages until now, but nothing's wrong, I promise. There was silence at the other end of the connection for a moment. Then Annabelle sighed. Shit, Dex, she said. You had me worried, is all. With what happened to the Bish woman, I had these visions that you'd been locked out, too. Bad timing, I guess, she said, and Dex could hear her forcing her voice to be light. I'm sorry, he repeated. Look, why don't I make it up to you? Let's go out. I'll arrange everything and we'll meet in, say, an hour at Monty's? Sure, Annabelle said. I could use a break. I've been working nonstop on this Bish thing. I think you'll find it pretty interesting, she said in the provocative voice she used when she had information on a case for Dex. It was one of his favorite things about her. Good, he said. Monty's in an hour, then. It took Dex only about a quarter of an hour to make the reservations, and then he spent the rest of the time cleaning himself up and getting his apartment ready. He'd need water and food nearby, since he planned to spend the next several hours online in M-City. He still found it unnerving to be experiencing almost real sensations of the virtual world. Touch, taste, smell, and still move around in the physical world. He always did better if everything he'd need was close at hand. He got to Monty's before Annabelle and grabbed their usual table. His avatar was dressed in its usual charcoal suit and felt fedora, but he'd added the bright crimson tie that he always wore for special occasions with Annabelle. When she materialized in the middle of the bar, he saw her smile at him, then get a puzzled look on her face. "Do I need to change?" she asked, looking down at her tan trousers and garish t-shirt. Dex shook his head. "I love you just the way you are," he said, grinning. "You are such a Casanova," she said, rolling her eyes but smiling. "You know what I mean." Dex nodded. "We have reservations at Lowell's," he said. "It's up to you." "Lowell's?" Annabelle gasped. "Jesus!" She winked out of the bar, then barely a second later reappeared. Now she wore a gauzy pale orange dress which danced around her body with its own sinuous movement. Her hair was long and gold, and her eyes seemed somehow bluer than usual. Dex whistled. "You clean up nice, kiddo," he said. Annabelle thanked him for the compliment, then perched on the chair next to him. One of her usual cocktails appeared before her on the table and she lifted the glass. Before she took a sip, she asked, "So, what's the occasion?" "It just seemed like we haven't gone anywhere nice in ages," Dex said, managing to ignore the pangs of guilt that were creeping around his gut. "Besides, I'm charging Stella Bish a mint for this case, and your little consultant's fee doesn't come close to being fair. You've done all the work." "I don't care about the money," Annabelle said. Dex nodded. "I know. I just want to do something nice for you. Is that good enough?" Annabelle smiled. "Of course," she said. They sipped their drinks for a few moments, then Dex said, "It's just about time to go. You ready?" Annabelle knocked back the last of her drink and stood. She looked radiant in the low light of the bar, and Dex marveled at his good fortune. "Let's go," she said, and took Dex's hand. Even with his upgraded sensation nodes, Dex found the concept of virtual restaurants surreal. Regardless, he had to admit that spending an evening and several hundred euros in Lowell's was a highly enjoyable experience. The virtual food was exquisite. It looked amazing, and the tastes were unbelievable. Dex wondered if real food actually ever tasted that good. He guessed that it rarely did, but remembering the looks on Rene Biagini's face at a few meals, he figured it must sometimes. Lowell's also had a great atmosphere. There was excellent avatar watching to be had, and you could always tell what the newest trend in the virtual street was by the bodies on display at the bar. A small stage between the bar and restaurant sections usually contained a group playing some kind of soft instrumental music, but once Dex had seen a full big band orchestra over there, and the barroom had turned into an impromptu dance floor. Lowell's was a fun place. Dex looked over his wine glass at Annabelle as they picked at their appetizers. She speared a large prawn and held it impaled on her fork as she spoke. "So, It's an internal credential error, she said, then raised the fork to her lips. Momentarily ignoring the virtual dripping morsel, she left the fork in place as she continued. Well, not an error, exactly. I mean, it's an error because Bish's credential is fine and she should be able to log in. But the system was deliberately shutting her out, as if her credential was revoked. She finally popped the crustacean into her mouth, and her eyes closed as she chewed. So, someone has spoofed the login system for everywhere, Net? Dex asked, trying to get this straight. And they're making it look like Bish isn't a legitimate user. Annabelle shook her head, and she swallowed. No, she said. That's what I thought at first, too, but it's much simpler than that. She stabbed at another prawn and eyed it predatorily. It really is the system locking her out. For a few hours, maybe longer, the system has decided that Stella Bish is not a real person. What? Dex sputtered. Annabelle smiled ruefully. It doesn't appear to be a permanent issue, she explained. I found a trace of timer code when I was poking around, so I'm guessing that any minute now she'd be able to log back in. No, Dex said. I mean, it's really the system? Someone in charge of EverywhereNet is picking on Bish specifically? Annabelle shrugged. Certainly whoever is behind this wants it to look that way. Dex thought for a moment. Could you do something like that? He asked. In the next 5 minutes? Annabelle considered. No. But could someone like me do something like that, with sufficient motivation and time? Yeah, probably. Huh, Dex grunted. So, someone is personally out to make life very hard for one Stella Bish. It would appear that's the case, Annabelle said. Except for one thing. Oh? Dex queried. This looks very much like the same system software that's causing most of the fuck-ups in M-City. The graffiti, the broken storefronts, what have you. Dex nearly dropped his fork as he watched a wry smile form on Annabelle's lips. So it's not just Stella Bish they're after, he said. Annabelle shook her head. From what I can tell, she said, they're after everyone. Chapter 16. Dex barely noticed when the waiter cleared the appetizer plates and brought the main courses. His olfactory node, however, noticed perfectly well, and soon his attention was drawn to the Chateaubriand and currant glaze that sat exquisitely in front of him. Annabelle's poached fish shared its wafted aroma of dill and tarragon, and Dex resolved to enjoy his night out. They savored the taste of their meals, while back at his apartment, Dex nibbled a food brick. The smell and taste of his meal at Lowell's had made his physical belly start to growl, so he was pleased that he'd planned ahead. They managed to avoid more shop talk until their coffee, tea, and dessert, when Annabelle said, "So, there's a lot to think about here." Dex nodded, his mouth full of a forkful of banana mousse. "But there's one thing that I keep coming back to," Annabelle continued, "the differences between the Light of the Simulacrum Temple case and everything else." Dex frowned and swallowed his dessert. "What do you mean?" "Well," Annabelle said, "it looks like all the destruction was done deliberately and coded by a human, or at least an agent attempting to render specific outcomes." Dex looked confused. Annabelle smiled and went on. "None of it is due to a bug or another error, and nothing is part of a blanket change order either. It's all deliberate. It's all targeted." "Okay," Dex said, scraping off another dollop of the mousse. "But all the examples we've seen, from Stella Bish to the reports we got in Larson's file, all those have been executed by root. The system, or someone spoofing admin access to the system, is allowing the code to run. Except for what happened to the temple. That was a clever crack, well executed for certain, but it was done the hard way." "So what does it mean?" Dex asked. Annabelle shrugged, making the fabric of her dress strain and billow in a most distracting manner. "I'm not entirely sure. I know you don't like coincidences, but I'm starting to think that they are actually entirely unrelated." "Come on," Dex sputtered. "There's a rash of random destruction all over M-City, and at the same time, without knowing anything about it, someone decides that now's a great time to go and vandalize a church? What are the odds?" "You don't want me to actually calculate them, do you?" Annabelle asked, her face innocent. "No, I don't," Dex said, dropping his fork onto his plate. "It just seems awfully unlikely." "You remember what Conan Doyle wrote about the impossible and the improbable, right?" Annabelle asked, her eyes twinkling. "I'm more of a Dashiell Hammett man myself," Dex countered, and they both chuckled. "Fine," he continued. "I will admit that it's possible that it's just a coincidence." He practically spat out the last word. "Good," Annabelle said as she drained the last drop of tea in her cup. "That was a wonderful meal, Dex. Thank you. You really didn't have to." I know, Dollface, he said, grinning, but I want to treat you right. Okay, Gumshoe, she said, playing along. What now? Now, Dex said, standing and retrieving his hat from the empty chair at the table. Now is when I take the lovely lady by the arm and whisk her off to a seedy motel for, he leered at her, protection. Annabelle actually giggled. Oh, Mr. Detective, she said in a faux innocent voice. What would people say? Sugar, Dex said, if I don't like what folks are saying, I'll just have to introduce them to a bunch of fives. He campily waved a fist around and Annabelle cracked up. My hero, she said, batting her eyelashes as she took his arm and they linked out of the restaurant. Annabelle was soaking in a giant tub filled with bubbly water, one ankle propped up on Dex's shoulder. She was trying to tickle his nose with her toe, and he was trying to ignore her. I think you've been had, she said as Dex squirmed away from the foot. How so? He asked. This is no seedy motel, she said, looking around the enormous bathroom. The centerpiece was the marble tub in which the two of them were lounging, but the platinum and gold faucets, huge mirror, and somewhat incongruous bookshelf added to the impressiveness of the room. And that was only the bathroom. Dex laughed. I told you that I thought you deserved something nice, kiddo, he said seriously. We can have a roll in the hay at the local hot sheet plaza any time. Annabelle laughed, then said, Ooh, we can? Goody. Dex grabbed her foot, and they wrestled in the tub until the floor was covered in sudsy water. What a mess, Annabelle said. I'll clean it up, Dex said, and sent the hotel room a message to dry up the bathroom floor. In a microsecond, it was as if they'd never spilled a drop from the tub. You get what you pay for, Annabelle said, easing herself from the tub. This is fantastic. It sure is, Dex said, openly staring at her avatar's wet, naked form. In his mind, he was imagining the real Annabelle, how her soft skin would be covered by goose flesh from the chill dampness. He smiled at her, and she recognized the look. She turned away from Dex, grabbing a towel from the rack and wrapping it around her body. She looked over her shoulder at him and said, her voice low in her throat, So, are you coming or what? She walked out of the bathroom as Dex scrambled to get out of the tub. They lay in the big, soft bed, Dex's head nestled in the crook of Annabelle's arm. He absently traced his finger on her skin, amazed at the realistic feeling his implants provided. He knew exactly what that skin really felt like, and this was a shockingly good reproduction. Good enough that he almost let himself forget that it was only that, a reproduction. But Annabelle was so much happier here, in the virtual world, than she was out there, that Dex would gladly bring her to expensive virtual screw palaces every week if that was what pleased her. I'm getting sleepy, Annabelle said. Me too, Dex agreed, holding her closer for a moment. He felt her nestle into his body and almost ached for his physical reality to coincide with this simulation. He tried to put the feeling out of his mind and enjoy the pleasure he knew that he was giving Annabelle. Maybe 5 more minutes? Annabelle suggested, and Dex nodded. They lay together in silence for a while. Then Annabelle said, So, how was the band? What? Dex asked, his mind elsewhere. Last night, Annabelle said. The band you went to see, how are they? Dex felt his entire body tense, and for once was glad that his avatar betrayed none of it. Pretty good, he said. Guitar, bass, and drums. Pretty old-school stuff. Good entertainers, though. They put on a really fun show. He tried to force himself not to babble. He slowly rolled over from Annabelle and sat up on the side of the bed. Not your favorite sound, though, he said as he stood. I don't think you missed out on much. That's good, Annabelle said, sitting up. I'd hate to think that you're out there gallivanting about town, getting into all kinds of trouble while I'm stuck at home working. She smiled broadly, and Dex knew that she didn't mean anything, but he couldn't help but hear an implicit accusation. Yeah, he said, gathering up his clothes. So why don't you log out and get some sleep, and we'll talk more tomorrow, okay? Dex thought he saw Annabelle frown slightly, but she didn't say anything about his abrupt change of pace. Good idea, she said. I'm really tired. I'll ping you tomorrow, okay? Sounds great, Dex said, and leaned over to kiss her. See you tomorrow. He linked out of the hotel room and blinked his eyes a few times as he refocused on his apartment. His mouth was dry, and he needed a shower. But most of all, he needed to figure out why he wasn't telling Annabelle about Max. He was wearing his ugly but amazingly comfortable one-piece and sipping a large rum and water. It was late, and he knew he ought to be getting to sleep. But his mind was racing, and he just couldn't face the solitude of his bed. He took a large pull on his drink and sighed. It felt like coming home, like a long overdue ritual finally being performed. He couldn't figure out why he was having these feelings, but there they were. He took another slug from his tumbler and pulled up his video archive. The light in the room was dim, but getting brighter as the sun rose. Dex could see himself and Max in the main corner of their old apartment, after a long night of music and talking. By this point in the recording, Max appeared to be almost sleeping as he lay on the couch, except for the almost imperceptible nodding of his head in time to the music. Dex lay on the floor facing the wall, and he remembered being so tired that he could barely move. In his apartment in Nice, the Dex of several decades later almost jumped when he heard his own younger voice say, "Do you want me to come with you? Do you need a hand on the train or anything?" "Nah," Max had said. "It's just the one crate. Besides, you'll need to pack up too. You'll be out of here in a few days yourself." Max sat up and, rubbing his hands over his face, said, "Andy, we've had some good times here, haven't we?" "Yeah," Dex had said. "We have indeed." Dex watched as his younger self stood to get a glass of water, clearing his throat. He poured a glass, drank it, and poured another, which he gave to Max, who downed it. Smiling, he gave Dex back the empty glass. "You should go soon," Dex said. "Yeah," Max said, standing up. He smoothed over his clothes, wrinkled from the night of lounging on the floor. He stood in the small kitchen area awkwardly, avoiding Dex's eyes. "It's not you, you know," he said finally. "It's just that things change. I changed. I want a different life now, that's all." "I know," Dex said, forcing himself not to swipe at the tears forming in his eyes. Max looked at his friend. "I wish everything would be the same for you once I'm gone, but it won't," Max said. "It's a different world out there, and I want to be a part of it now. I know it wasn't supposed to end this way, but I can't pretend that this is enough for me anymore." "I know," Dex said. "I just wish it were." Max smiled and stepped closer to Dex. Dex looked up as Max put his arms around him. They held the embrace for a long time. "You can't hold on to people forever," Max said, his voice slightly muffled by the top of Dex's head. "We're all in motion, constantly. Sometimes, when we're lucky, we're moving in the same direction at the same time. But if you try to hang on, all you do is grab onto thin air. It's no good." He pulled away and his eyes were shining. "You have to find your own way, same as I did. But you'll be fine. You've always been the strong one, anyway." He smiled and stepped out into the main room. He picked up his crate and turned back to Dex. "Take care, Andy." "You too, Max," Dex said. Then Max walked out of the apartment and closed the door behind him. After that, the video ran on with only the sound of footsteps that got quieter until the file ended. When it was over, Dex found that a hard lump had formed in his throat. He had this strange sensation that this was a night he'd relived 1,000 times over, always ending with the same sense of loss. Now, though, he felt sad, but not for himself. Knowing how hard it had been for Max to leave, and how doubly hard it must have been to come back and find that Dex had already gone. And the hell of it all was that Max had been right. Everything is constantly changing, and you can't hang on to the present. The best you can hope for is to change with the people you love, and hope that you end up in the same place. He finished his drink and put the empty glass in the cleaner. He slipped into bed, thinking not about Max, but about Annabelle, and how much they both had changed in order to be where they were now. Together. Dex fell asleep, smiling. You've been listening to The Beauty of Our Weapons by M. Darusha Wain. For more information about this and the other Anderson Dexter stories, please visit darusha.ca/dex. The theme music is First We Take Manhattan, performed by Donovan Alex and Yoko Rocks. More information at soundcloud.com/donovan-alex. Thanks for listening.